this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from New Hyde Park, New York. Authorities say a New York woman crashed her car into a Long Island firehouse. Of course, firemen rushed to her aid. They opened the door and found she crashed because the 22-year-old lady was unconscious. Why? Because there was a ball python wrapped tightly around her neck. Why? Because she had just stolen it from a nearby pet store. Sure enough, she stole the snake, jumped in the car, apparently did not properly confine it, and, well, it quickly took its revenge. They also found that she had a certain amount of marijuana on hand, so she has been charged with larceny, reckless endangerment, and driving while intoxicated. I guess some would call that a little bit of instant karma. We've got a lot of weird animal stories again in the news tonight, and we'll dig into some of those soon. Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
And a good evening to you down there near the equator, sir. How are things going?
It was just an absolutely beautiful day here. I mean, you know, the breeze swaying the palm trees, the water is as clear and warm as ever. I've been taking out my easy breath snorkeling mask and finding new reefs. And so, I'm looking forward to being back in Asheville next month to see all my friends and family, but it's hard to pull away from a little slice of paradise like this.
It was lovely here in the mountains today, too. Very temperate, very sunny. Very
good,
blue.
Good. You know, the weather down here is much more consistent than it is in Asheville.
They say all four seasons in a day.
Yeah. You know, in Asheville, it's when it's nice, it's really, really nice. And when it's dreary, it's really dreary. And here, I mean, it's usually nice. I mean, you know, you get showers that go through here and there, but most of the time it's quite nice. And another person who certainly knows the comparison between the tropics and the mountains at your side there at the flagship studio in Ash Vegas is investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you tonight, Shelley?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm very excited. You know, in fact, I mentioned before we came on to the radio that later this month, of course, my new anthology, It Was a Dark and Creepy Night, comes out. You have a story in there, and I'm on a pretty crazy publicity tour. Well, it's more like interview arrangement. The publicist have got me doing dozens and dozens of interviews just in the next couple of weeks, not to mention throughout the fall. So it's going to be a really busy fall for me, in addition to how busy it usually is.
Yeah, you don't really need to sleep. You can sleep when you're dead.
I know. I mean, every year I figure, okay, this is the last year I'm going to push myself this hard. But I don't know. It's just there are so many people who want to talk about so many things, and I feel lucky to have those opportunities. And, you know, sometimes in the fall I put together interesting little events. Like we did a dinner one year at the Madison Inn where we had kind of a seance and everybody dressed up. And,
I remember that. That was so fun.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that when it came to sort of the atmosphere around our guest tonight, because I think you in particular, Shelley, are really going to enjoy our guest and our content for hour number two of tonight's show.
Yay!
Yes, she is a lady from Iowa named Lisa Lloyd, and she is the creator of a popular blog called Mysteries Over Martinis. And basically, when you go to her blog, she has a topic. So, for example, on her blog I'm looking right now, we have one topic, an introduction to the black-eyed kids. And when you go there, you find, first off, a recipe for a complimentary drink. So she has here's the recipe for hypnotic eyes. 2 ounces of hypnotic, 1 ounce of blueberry vodka, splash of lemonade, 2 blueberries, sprig of mint, etc. And then she has an actual story about the black-eyed kids. And so the idea is that you get to go there, and from what I can tell, most, maybe all of these stories in her blog are nonfiction stories. You get to go there and read a little story about a true mystery, and then you get to read about how to make, again, a complimentary martini. And you, Shelley, are a lady who not only enjoys a good mystery, but I know you can appreciate a fine cocktail. And so I think that maybe you'll get something out of this tonight.
I think that she sounds fabulous.
Yeah. And I wonder if she's ever, like, put together an event, you know, like a Mysteries Over Martinis event.
Oh, that would be fun, but it has to be here in Asheville.
Well, you know, it would be the perfect place, wouldn't it? So, you know, when she comes on, I'll ask her about that. But, yeah, we're going to talk to her a bit about not only some of these mysteries that she has explored and how she got so into this, because it's my understanding that she had a near-death experience, and this really opened her up to a lot of spiritual phenomena, but also the connection between alcoholic beverages and the paranormal, because, of course, I am the creator and owner of the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, which are the oldest and original in Asheville. They're very popular, and we have not only our classic tour, but we also have a pub crawl that runs usually Friday nights. We just do it once a week, but it's usually just packed out. It's sold out. And the thing about the pub crawl that I find so interesting is that when people historically have referred to high alcohol content drinks as, quote, spirits, they have literally done so because throughout the ages it has been believed that when you imbibe, it actually opens your body up to channel or, in worst case, be possessed by spirits, which determine your behavior. Even the very word alcohol itself goes back to an ancient Arabic word, al-ghul, which actually turned into
also the English word ghoul, but al ghoul became alcohol somehow, as well as ghoul. And so the very etymology of the word itself, alcohol, is based in this concept of a spiritual interaction. So that's always been interesting to me. Also, like when you go to a haunted bar or restaurant, and there are many of them, it seems like that the activity is so pronounced because whether it's the chicken or the egg cause and effect, you have people who go and they drink alcohol, and there's a lot of emotional energy in the air. Sometimes it's joyous, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's angry. People get, you know, it's like alcohol amplifies the emotions, and we know that that can create imprints. But from a very sort of unique scientific perspective, when you go into the average bar and you find rows and rows of glass bottles full of alcohol, what you're looking straight at are massive capacitors, meaning that a capacitor is basically an object which can store up electrical charges like a battery and release it under certain circumstances. And a bottle of alcohol is a fantastic capacitor. It's a non-conductor full of an electrolyte. And when you have rows of them, I mean, you can go into a bar with the right kind of equipment and actually document just a pulsing field of electromagnetic energy all around where they keep the alcohol. So there actually is a very serious side of looking into that relationship. And so, you know, whether you're getting together to have a little fun or you're trying to figure out what the power supply is for ghosts, this concept of, you know, mysteries and martinis is pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to getting Lisa Lloyd's take on that. Let's see. My goodness. We have a lot to dig into tonight. You know, some weeks the stories come in that are a little bit thin, or you think, well, they're good, but they're not juicy enough. This week we have just the perfect balance of crazy stuff. Stuff that's suitable for the regular part of the show as well as the Dark 30 part of the show. And we're quickly going to jump into all that, but I want to let everybody know that when we come back from our first break, we're going to come in with a theme song that's reminiscent of Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, everybody's talking about Robin Williams because several days ago he died. And, you know, Sam, you and I were joking on the last show about how I have these sort of Forrest Gump-like run-ins with celebrities, mm-hmm. you know. Well, as it turns out, I actually worked with Robin Williams for about 3 days on a movie set. It was a very close quarters with him. And so I figure I may as well go ahead and then tell everybody when we come back about my experience with Robin Williams, one of my fondest memories. So, hey, folks, stick around for a really good, interesting show this evening. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. We're going to keep you company tonight. And tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. That's Shelley Wright's family's store there, Wright's Coin Shop. And their number is 828-298-5402. You can learn more at speakingofstrange.com, where you'll also find a live chat. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Sweet, sweet baby.
From the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And the bumper music that brought us back in is, of course, from the, I believe, classic movie Popeye. And, in fact, the little village being portrayed there reminds me a lot of the place where I am here in Boca Raton, Puerto Rico. But, of course, the movie Popeye starred Robin Williams. And I want to take a moment here to tell you about my personal experience with Robin Williams. Several days ago, he took his own life, which was, of course, a huge shock to the entire world. And I had the privilege of actually working with him for 3 days in very close quarters on a movie set. And believe it or not, I am actually on screen with Robin Williams in the movie Patch Adams. It's one of those things where you have to, you know, pause it because I'm on there for just a few seconds. But I was a featured extra in that movie, and significant portions were shot in Asheville. And basically, there is a scene where, well, of course, in the movie, Robin Williams plays the fictionalized version of a real-life doctor. And the doctor, known as Patch Adams, he went to medical school later in life when he was older. I don't know exactly how old. I'm thinking maybe his 40s or something like that. And then he becomes this sort of revolutionary doctor who incorporates all of these sort of comedic and emotional elements in treating patients. So there's a scene where Robin Williams is – he's just gotten to medical school, to his college, and he's walking through one of the dorms, I believe, and he's going down a hallway. And so they had recreated this hallway on a set in a studio in Asheville, and I was hired to be pretty much one of the other guys in the hallway. So I'm supposed to look like another student at this college. And so there's this scene where Robin Williams is walking down the hallway, and I'm more or less walking down the hallway right next to him, slightly behind him, something like that. And given the pace at which they shoot Hollywood films, that was about a three-day process to just shoot this little part of him walking down this hallway and going into this room. And, you know, it's been a while since I've seen that movie, but I'm thinking that when they cut it together, that same scene may have had also Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. And that was, of course, before he became such a famous actor. And it's pretty tragic now to think, well, they're both gone. I never saw Philip Seymour Hoffman on the set, but I will tell you this. At one point, they were adjusting his lighting in some scene, and they borrowed me for a second because they said that they thought he and I had the same coloring.
So he was very pasty.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't consider that a compliment, but but nonetheless, so yes, for 3 days. And I tell you another thing, that movie Patch Adams was directed by Tom Shadyac, who directed the Ace Ventura movies. And he was a hell of a nice guy. I had lunch with him every day, and he, you know, everybody on that set was just really, really cool, especially for such a big feature. So here's Robin Williams, who's getting paid. I think he was making like $50 million, and here I am, a featured extra, and so I'm making nothing compared to him. And he had every reason in the world to turn his nose up at me, but it was quite the opposite. For 3 days, it was like he was just, you know, my buddy there on the set. And he was so genuinely nice and courteous and warm to everybody that I'll just give you some examples. Okay, when we would be on the set, and again, I'm right there next to him with two or three other featured extras and crew people around, when the director would say cut, Robin Williams would immediately turn to me and the others
and just start making jokes, just start cracking jokes and start engaging us in conversation. He would just look around himself on the set while we were waiting when they were adjusting lighting, and he would find some prop and just start going off on some routine. For example, there was a telephone that was hanging on the wall, and he turned and got the telephone and just started making funny little voices like the genie from Aladdin and having this big, you know, conversation with himself with the telephone as a prop. It's just, you know, silly, just stupid stuff like that. But he kept the whole atmosphere completely light. He'd recently won an Academy Award, so, you know, I was able to congratulate him on that, of course. He ate with us. He was just everything that you would hope for from simply seeing him in the movies. So, you know, when you see him in the movies, he was always portrayed as this, or usually portrayed as this very, like, lovable, you know, warm figure with a quick wit. And that is exactly what my experience was with him on the set. And from what I can tell, what everybody else says about him as well, or said about him. So my impression was he was not putting on an act. When you would see him on camera and he would come across with that charisma, that was really him. There was no real distinction between behind camera and on camera in terms of his behavior. Nobody, of course, who didn't really know him closely could ever imagine that he was dealing with the kind of pain that he was obviously dealing with, which is why the whole world was shocked by his death. But
usually, you know, people of a comedic nature, you know, the sad clown and whatnot, it's very easy and useful to use your humor and stuff to hide that, you know.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, a friend of mine, I was working at the Residence Inn at the time where the crew was staying. I believe he was staying at the Battery Park or something. And so they had the whole hotel booked out, and it was, like, great because they were gone at the crack of dawn, and they didn't come back till like, 3 in the morning, so you didn't really have to work for, like, several months while they were here filming it. And a friend of mine, she lived over off of, like, somewhere near Chestnut, you know, off of Charlotte Street, and they had took that whole row of that whole street, and they used several houses, and they had to paint the houses. And then, like, you could keep them that color, or they would paint them back. And it seems crazy the amount of stuff they go through to, like, do one little scene in a movie, you know?
Yeah.
Paint a whole street. And he hung out the whole time that they were not doing anything with her and her dog. And, like, for years and years, even now, like, she still has that picture on her fridge of, like, Robin Williams and the dog, the big shepherd, and her, like, just smile. And she said he was, like, the nicest dude ever. And, you know, like, gave the dog much love. And, a little known fact, he was a big shoe collector. He knew his sneakers very, very well. And, you know, it was just really sad because, you know, he made all of us laugh, yet he was very sad on the inside.
And, of course, I think that the ultimate lesson that we can all take from this is that, you know, you hear this all the time throughout your life, but once in a while it smacks you right in the face and you have to sit up and pay attention to it. It clearly does not necessarily matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how famous you are, doesn't matter how well-respected and beloved that you are. None of that matters unless you have got everything in harmony and peace within you. And you should never, ever neglect what is inside you in pursuit of all of these superficial things that exist outside of you. You have to begin with what's within. And that's, you know, it doesn't matter. He was the closest thing to, I think, international royalty that most of us can think of, a guy who's that beloved. But he, you know, look what he did with it. So,
and I mean, you got to feel for his family as well. I mean, and think about it. Like, as soon as that was announced, I mean, immediately, like, people were texting each other all over the internet, all over the world. You know, it made a difference. And he had all those people, you know, that he did matter to, and that cared about him, and, you know.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I told you we had some interesting animal stories. Well, I know many of you are cat lovers, and when we come back, I'll explain why the kitty cats have been disappearing all around Port St. Lucie, Florida. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction is holding me fast.
Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, where your money becomes more money, if you go to speakingofstrange.com. And you'll also find a live chat during the show, as well as regular updates on weird news around the world, and links to our Facebook page, Twitter account, and cool stuff like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours running strong right now. And, you know, people are already booking up October. Okay, so you can – this is the first year we've had it set up where you can go to hauntedasheville.com and you can book your tickets online in advance to make sure you reserve your spot, because we only have so many people that we can take on certain tours at certain times. So – go start booking up your tours this fall right now, because we've got big groups coming in, and you'd be surprised how quickly these slots will disappear. We've got the classic Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. We have the pub crawls on Friday nights. We have the Vampire and the Cult Tour on Friday nights. We also have a Biltmore Village mystery tour that we offer if we have a minimum of 10 people. And we have ghost hunts late night at the Asheville Masonic Temple. And we are the only people in the world who can offer you that. So, again, go to hauntedasheville.com for all those details. I mentioned we have a lot of animal stories. And here is one from Port St. Lucie, Florida. It says here, cats have been disappearing around a neighborhood there in Port St. Lucie, and police now think they know why. They captured a 12-foot, 120-pound python. Officers said that this thing had apparently been eating these missing cats for years. Our second a python story of the night. Burmese pythons were banned in Florida in 2012, and it's illegal to own them without a special permit. Cops said the animal in question belongs to a man who lives in the area, which I found very interesting, almost like, you know, this is not some wild python that sort of escaped, but almost like he goes out and eats cats and then comes home at night.
That's like a huge problem down there, too, with the feral, you know, introduced exotic snakes that have been let loose in the Everglades, and now they're just getting to be the largest of, like, pretty much of history, you know, like these massive pythons and constrictors. Crazy.
And if snakes is not what gives you nightmares, well, here we have another spider story that now we're falling into some kind of a pattern. They say the spider thing just keeps happening. Whatever happened to throwing a shoe at it? Because here we have a woman in Wales, another person here, has tried to kill a spider by spraying it with an aerosol and then lighting it. And guess what happens when you do that, folks?
What happens?
Kaboom!
This flamethrower ignites your house.
Oh.
Okay, and so this is, let's see, at least the third time. Okay, in July, a Seattle man tried to kill a spider in his laundry room by using a lighter and a can of spray paint. His house burned down. In June, a woman in Kansas also had a similar idea. She tried killing a spider by squirting it with charcoal and setting it on fire. Her house burned down. So, I mean, this is just keeps happening.
I want to say it happened around here just the other day. I think I read something. Yeah, about this guy who burned down his grandma's trailer doing the same thing. I have to look that up. I believe it was in Western North Carolina.
Well, sometimes you don't think you should have to make certain public service announcements, but you really do. So here we go, folks. Let me spell this out for you. If you have a spider, there are a number of things you can do to deal with it. But the number one thing you don't do is incorporate fire in any way whatsoever. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Everybody has their own philosophy about the fate of a spider in the house. Some people think it should be scooped up and set free outside. Others think it should be squashed. All I'm going to tell you is whatever you choose to do, fire should never be a part of the plan.
Unless you are a fully trained professional.
But moving on with animal stories, you may have seen this video that has become viral. I recently posted it on my Facebook page showing a bear in New Jersey walking around a neighborhood in the morning completely upright on two legs. Fully bipedal, the thing looks like Yogi Bear or some other kind of cartoon character. And once in a while, you know, you see a bear stand up, and it's kind of hunched, and it might just stand there or take a couple steps. No, this bear is standing fully erect and just walking enormous distances. And the footage is incredible. In fact, I immediately, of course, thought there's no way that you can watch this and then not question some of these Bigfoot sightings that people have, because you can tell it's a bear, of course, under the circumstances, but if you're looking at this thing from the side, the ears are going to kind of look like a bit of a dome shape on top of the head. If the bear is standing right at you, you'll see the two ears sticking up. But if it's turned to the side and you get a profile, it looks like a dome. And, you know, people, they talk about Bigfoot, you know, standing upright, a black hairy thing, and it's got kind of a large dome-shaped skull. And I swear when you watch this footage, when you look at this bear from certain angles, he looks just like a Sasquatch, especially when he's half obscured by some of the vegetation. Of course, the video footage was turned over to the authorities because this bear is just kind of walking around snooping at people's houses. And everybody here said that the bear obviously had some kind of problem with its paws, which would explain, or at least its front paws, which would explain why that it had become so adept at walking upright. And they say this bear is still being sought. Apparently they have not captured him yet, but a lot of people feel sorry for him because obviously those front legs are in pain, but it makes you wonder how often that this happens, and bears are just walking around upright like people.
Been sighted with a smaller bear named Boo Boo.
Possibly. And here's an interesting story from Texas. Imagine a bite from a tick that can make you allergic to eating meat. It sounds like a bizarre problem, but this bug can turn you into a vegetarian, or at least make you swear off red meat.
This is horrible. Horrible.
Isn't that strange? And of course, you'd think of all places for this to come from. They call it the Lone Star Tick, named, of course, for Texas, a state famous for meaty barbecue. And they say the tick is now found throughout the south and eastern half of the U.S. But they say that they've already seen 200 cases of this in New York. It's spreading here, and they say somebody who has been eating meat their entire life can get one bite from this tick and then have severe allergic reactions afterward anytime they try to eat meat. They claim that the tick harbors a sugar that humans don't have called alpha-gal, and the sugar is also found in red meat. And that when the tick bites you, there is some kind of an immune system response. The body perceives the sugar the tick transmitted to the victim's bloodstream as a foreign substance, and then it makes some antibodies to it. And so that creates the allergic reaction the next time the person eats red meat and encounters the sugar. And from what I can tell here, once you get bitten, this can last for the rest of your life. No, so
I mean, other than like really liking meat, I guess like it could be a good thing in a way, because I mean, vegetarians have a healthy, you know, you can be very healthy that way. It's probably good for you in some ways. I mean, is there all other effects as well?
Well, they say that when you have the allergic reaction, I mean, they say you get swelled up, especially right. your hands and your feet. They swell up. They feel like they're on fire. They start itching. Your lips and your tongues get swollen.
So, yes, there would be.
Yeah, so bad. You know, there are bad problems if you eat meat. But if you don't eat meat, then apparently, yeah, this can help you lose a few pounds. So if you want to get forced into vegetarianism, go find one of these ticks.
You ever been bitten by a tick?
But poultry and fish
you ever been
are
a,
fine,
a tick
right?
Guy?
No. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I have another animal story I'm going to tell you about. This time, we're going to go to birds and talk about penguins. And then after that, a story that's rather exciting, some may say terrifying, though, and it's about a new invention that is bringing us closer than ever to real artificial intelligence. I'm talking C-3PO level Android technology. And when I say Android, I'm not talking about your smartphone. So that and more when we come back. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strength.
You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year. I never seem to finish all my food. I always get a doggy bag from the waiter. So I just keep what's still unchewed. And I take it home, save it for later. But then I deal with fungal rot, bacterial formation, microbes, enzymes, mold, and oxidation. I don't care. I've got a secret trick up my sleeve. I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic, cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed and tight with aluminum foil. Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best to keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler. Eat it when you're ready. Then maybe you'll choose a refreshing herbal tea.
Lovely.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. Figured out the shadow war. Get a
'Cause I made this hat from aluminum foil.
Foil.
Where I had this foil lined in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar.
Peculiar.
Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove. There's a big conspiracy.
And we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am Joshua P. Warren, and next hour we are going to talk about mysteries over martinis with Lisa Lloyd. This should be an interesting combination of facts and strange things from history. She actually had a near-death experience, and that kind of, I guess you could say, impassioned her to go deeper into this realm, creating this very popular blog. Before we wrap up this hour, though, a couple of interesting stories. Sam, you and Shelley, of course, are very well acquainted with our friend Vance Pollock, who was on the program last week.
Very fun guy. I like him.
He's a great guy, and his appearance on the show was wonderful. Everybody's been raving about it. Now, Vance is 6'7", even taller than you,
that
Sam.
That threw me for a loop when I met him in the parking lot. I'm like, whoa, buddy. I don't see many people taller than me, you know.
When a really tall guy meets a guy who's taller, it is shocking for a moment.
Yeah.
You're just not used to seeing that every day. But there's a story here saying that penguins used to be 6'7" tall.
What?
Science has proven that giant penguins once walked the earth, and they're saying this could actually be one of the missing links between dinosaurs and birds. A lot of people are very excited about Mega Penguin. The Colossus penguin lived about 40 million years ago. They think that it was living somewhere around the ancient Antarctic Peninsula. And they say it was kind of a true monster, but they say its remains are 6'7" tall, exactly as tall as Vance Pollock.
Man, I bet people would not be thinking how cute and cuddly penguins were if you saw a 6'7" penguin coming your way. You know?
I know.
That would be rather monstrous, wouldn't
Terrifying.
It?
Terrifying.
And now we have this story that I also referenced, which some people consider kind of exciting, but I don't know. IBM cracks open a new era of computing with a brain-like chip. They say this is by far the most advanced neuromorphic, which means brain-like, computer chip to date. It's called the True North, and it consists of 1 million programmable neurons and 256 million programmable synapses across 4,096 individual neurosynaptic cores. Now, if you know what that means, good. But if not, let me just tell you, this story continues going on and on with amazing statistics, apparently. But basically, it says this thing is about 176,000 times more efficient than a modern CPU running the same brain-like workload. And ultimately, they say IBM is just closer to building a brain on a chip, and that this thing is, as they put it, kissing the edges of true artificial intelligence. And it's kind of intriguing that this has come out at the same time. Another story has emerged saying that there is a new kind of storage device which has been developed by Hitachi. And it is one of the most efficient data storage devices ever envisioned, and it uses quartz crystal, which is not at all surprising. It's essentially a sheet of quartz glass, which could potentially save data up to 300 million years.
Great for that selfie you took.
Well, you know, the relationship this has to some of the ideas regarding the crystal skulls is pretty profound, because a lot of people around the world believe that crystal skulls are storing some kind of ancient data, just like was suggested in the last Indiana Jones movie. And I'm going to tell everybody this and leave you with a little bit of a hint of things to come. I recently received as a gift my very first real crystal skull.
Sweet.
And it is amazing. It's not just a crystal skull. It is an alien crystal skull. It's a big, heavy, cold, energetic item. And when you shine a laser on it, it comes to life. Again, I won't tell you exactly where it came from yet, but I'm doing some experiments with this thing, and in the near future, you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be time for Mysteries Over Martinis. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.